joining us on the phone to talk about the WASD and crop production numbers is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good to be with you again, Dave.
It appears to me that corn is going to be caught between wheat and soybeans as we move forward for a while.
Yeah, we talked about this morning, and USDA did feed the bear once again, and he fed it with wheat. We had not only higher production, but also lower demand, and this goes back to why the wheat we talked about this morning had not found a bottom in the prices, and it goes back to the USDA coming in with 86 million more bushels of ending stocks, pushing us up to 660 million bushels, 70 million bushels over the average trade guess. So we don't have a demand low for wheat. Corn is going to get caught in that, and we don't have a sentiment low in the grains, and that's where the wheat really has the most important feature from an analytical standpoint, and corn is certainly going to continue to get caught in that as well. You may see some bumps to the upside, some short covering, if the weather indeed turns a little bit more conducive to short covering next week, and you could see the row crops bump up and see some short covering, Dave. But if the wheat doesn't participate and actually lead the low, then that would probably be construed as a way to get some more hedges in place or to sell those short covering weather-led rallies.
So wheat's yield goes up by 8 tenths, exports down 25 million bushels, and that caught my eye. You would think that essentially that low prices cures low prices on the export market, but there could be, as we were looking at wheat prices earlier in the week and thinking they were pretty competitive, but not seeing U.S. bids, there could be some geopolitical things going on.
I think that's exactly how the market's taking it. And I think you hit the most bearish feature to the report, and it spirals out as far as it may seem small in the here and now as far as one line item, but it poses a bigger threat and a bigger problem to the trade, and you can take that over to the coarse grains. World coarse grains up 6.8 million tons. We're up to 219.5 million tons for the ending stocks of world coarse grains. That's the biggest since 1998. The United States was 70% of that increase, China and Brazil the other 30%. So we have once again in the coarse grains something similar as in the wheat, where China's ending stocks go up, and that begs the question, do the Chinese now want to sell out some of their excess corn stocks and treat essentially the corn market like the market has been treating the wheat market, where we have actually extra competition geopolitically here again? And this is all wrapped up in the same feature to this market. You know, essentially we've been dealing with it since the $5 handle was taken out about a month and a half ago after that short covering rally led by the demand and led by the geopolitical bullish concerns out of the Ukraine.
And the soybeans, it appears that traders are taking all of the air out of the July no spread.
Yeah, this ending stocks number for new crop was, in my opinion, not a bearish number. It was right with the trade estimates, but it has given the trade the mindset to try and go back to a carrying charge market. We did it in corn, we did it in wheat, and if exports are not going to go sharply higher and offset the increase in production potential, then we might as well go back to a carrying charge market like we did in wheat and corn a couple months ago. And this is where that 415 million bushel ending stocks number for new crop is not bearish in and of itself compared to trade guesses. In fact, I think it would be on the left-hand side of neutral to positive a little bit. But when the trade looks at the spreads, they say to themselves, why should we carry such a big old crop, new crop spread when so many new bushels are coming? And we are, after all, in the month of July, heading into August. We should start to get some new crop delta beans pretty soon. So let's collapse the spread. Like we talked about this morning, this spread's going to be a big player, not just today, but also on Monday, Tuesday of next week. If we lose any more technical support, then the November beans could be led lower by the weakening of the spread.
I was going to say, in the flat bean price in the noves, where do you see them going?
Well, the 1065 low is a pretty important number. I would say even more important is 1045, 1040 area. I think you were talking about a 10:16, 10:19 area this morning.
Yeah, worst case scenario.
Yeah, that would be your in my opinion, your final stop with the trade, assuming with conducive weather that we were heading towards a 500 million bushel carryover. Now, I have talked to a lot of clients, and you probably have heard this from other analysts, and we talked about it on a commodity week a couple weeks ago with Dr. Cordonnier. There's a lot to be said about the bean conditions needing to get a lot better between the 1st of July and the 1st of August to be able to meet a 45 bushel yield, especially as spread out as our acres are. It's very difficult in beans especially to have big acres and big yield. And I would say this next 15 days of crop weather is really going to dictate whether we really need to go much below 1050 or not.
Yeah, beans don't like wet feet, and it's been plenty wet in areas.
And you're looking at record cold temperatures in the northern bean belt where it has been the wettest, and so you're looking at a lot more potential for mold, and you're looking at a lot bigger need for fungicide application, so on and so forth.
It's something that USDA has recommended as a U of I, that producers get out and start looking for that white mold.
Yeah, and this is the key in the marketplace as far as cash versus paper positions. I mean, you're still in a situation where you could have a substantial short covering rally to fill the gaps left over from the acreage report, and I think that increases in likelihood once the weather bears get out of the way. And I think next week we will need to watch very closely that weather. I'm going to put that as the number one feature to turning this market back higher, and then right below that, the wheat market. If you want a trend shift and you want a sentiment shift and you want the investors to come back in and rotate in what seems to be a very undervalued, cheap complex as an asset class, you really need the wheat to bottom.
So what's a hedger to do for their next increment? I know it's not buy at the, not sell at these levels.
No, but I think that the one thing you can do is get more protection in place on the beans. You could get up to 100% of expected production if today's lows don't hold. Do that with some September put options, because those will run very nicely with the type of market that we've seen here. If you go down 40 cents a couple days, those puts will be very good property, in my opinion. And then you can pull those off within a couple weeks' time span going into the later part of July, and then see how that weather treats you.
Any last thoughts before we let you go?
I think the only thing I would say is the spring wheat led us lower after the report. We were down almost 5% in spring wheat, Dave. What mm-hmm. we've seen is those losses have been cut in half. In fact, July spring wheat is back up 2 cents on the day. Not a lot of trade there because the expiration comes on Monday, but I think that's where your end-of-the-day trade probably will focus its most attention, because that's been the one that's led us lower since the report.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas.